So we will start today with a seminar or this program which I have designed for you, this summer camp. It's called Immersing the Mind in the Seven Oceans of Krishna's Sweetness. And I will introduce the subject a little bit after the kirtan. I still see devotees are arriving. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You all bring your little worlds and subjects with you. Hare Krishna. So,
come on, Krishna, what should we sing? Yeah.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Kindly join me. Namaste Saraswati Deva
Ah.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
One more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Once again, I see more devotees have assembled. Wir haben auch eine deutsche Übersetzung für euch da, wenn ihr möchtet, bei Krishna Prema Rupa in der dort am Ende des Saales. Thank you all very much for coming, because it is all of us together that create an atmosphere, and I'm very happy to deliver this seminar. It is, I do have notes, but I want to see a little bit as we go along, to see that there is some space also for, I would see the dynamic, fragile interplay between the speaker and the audience. Perhaps you have heard that over the last few years, whenever I have time for my traveling, I sit down to write a book on meditation, and I have actually two audience in mind, and I decided therefore to write two books. The first book on meditation has the techniques in it that are tried, tested, and proved by the old yoga tradition and neuroscience that help us to, let us say, calm the constant thought traffic, so to say, that goes on, the ordinary thinking that gets you through the day and so on. It calms that so that you can access or go and enter that deeper levels in your inner life, which have to do with being a part really of God. To say it very simple, in this book, I'm addressing the human doings and the human thinkings and asking them to become human beings. That is coming in contact with their essence, their higher natures, as belonging to God. We are part of God. So, in the beginning, this is, let me say, I hinted it. It's the first part of the book is really about teaching people to turn inside, and the second is to then find the authentic path to their authentic self. That's the second part. And the third is attracting the divine in our lives. So this is the idea. I believe it's very useful for devotees also, because I can see that many of the devotees would benefit so much if they can just come in contact with their true selves and if they're not so much on the surface of it's so hectic and often stressed out and having difficulties to forgive and so on. But I have written a second book about what I think is so important in Krishna consciousness is to find your Krishna really through remembering him throughout the day. And today I will address you as devotees, a devotee audience. I might make some traditional meditation, but the Hare Krishna devotees are my most difficult audience because they eat a lot and then they digest and then they are very tired. So I might not meditate with you because it might become a snoring situation here. I will check on you. I will see. I will decide. Good. Please repeat. When you go a little bit slower, I know this mantra, but not like this. It's the mantra you chant every morning. Once again. Srila Prabhupada addressed his devotees about what he called the art of remaining in Krishna consciousness even when engaged with so many things. Would you like to know this art? It's a very, very interesting thing. So he says, the Krishna consciousness movement, that's us, no? The Krishna consciousness movement, the technique is that you may be engaged in various types of work, but the mind must always be fixed up in Krishna. That art you have to learn. So you do things, but the mind is always with Krishna. This art. How is it possible, Prabhupada asks? It is possible. Perhaps you have not seen, in India, the women, they go to draw water from the well and they keep it on the head. They are going or walking, but the head is so balanced that the water pot will never fall down. There are many instances that if you learn how to keep the balance in spite of your movement, the water pot on the head will not fall. Similarly, if you mold your life in such a way that Krishna should always be remembered, then in spite of your mind being very agitated, your mind will be fixed up in Krishna. That is required. Throughout my years in Krishna consciousness, I have received many devotees in my room or wherever, for counseling sessions. They have asked me questions and advices, and I have tried to answer and help solve or help them solve their issues, problems, and move forward. And what I have noticed is that very often these devotees have forgotten Krishna while they are engaged in many activities. It's a little bit like when the Indian lady walks with a, it's not only one water pot, I understand they know several water pots if they walk, and then somehow they may become so absorbed in the discussion with the neighbor lady, maybe some village situation, mango season or whatever they discuss, and they do forget the water pot. I've never seen it, but I heard it happens. And then the water pot falls down and makes them wet, and they have to go the same way back because they need the water. So I have seen many times devotees becoming so absorbed while they are doing them multifarious activities that they have forgotten Krishna, and then they have to go back really and make and start all over again. I've seen this with many of my god brothers. I've seen this with many other devotees. So in my little seminar here, I would like to talk about remembering Krishna, and then I will give you some exercises, some things that you could do during the day that might help you. But first of all, because I might tell some revolutionary new ideas, I want to build the fundament in our philosophy. In our Bhagavad Gita, there are altogether four verses that are repeated. One set of verses, that means two verses who are repeated, are talking about our dharma, how we should act in this world, and the second set of verses talk about our sanatana dharma, how we should act in relationship to Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is considered to be the essence of the entire Vedic scriptures, so we can understand if there are repetitions appearing in that book, they must be very, very important. These two verses in relationship to Krishna, in relationship to the spiritual path, are what we want to look at, because the other things, following your dharma, yeah, in theory you could, if you just want to know your dharma and only do your, it's called swadharma, what you are meant to do in this world, then you do, you can have Krishna a little on the side and visit him in the temples, but if you want to lead a sanatana dharma life, then you absolutely require Krishna. And so the verses are well known. I request you to chant them with me. Manmana bhava mat bhakto, manmana bhava mat bhakto, majaji mang namaskuru, mame vaisyasi satyam te, prati jane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Stop. Is Krishna having, is he saying the same thing? Always think of me, become my devotee, isn't that the same? No, there are examples in the scriptures of people who were non-devotees who are with thought of Krishna. Kamsa, for instance, thought 24 hours of Krishna without, you know, with fear. It is told when the servants came in the afternoon and brought him a glass of orange juice, the innocent orange juice on a platter, when the orange juice would flicker a little bit, he thought that's the devotee of Krishna now who comes to him and punishes him for his bad deeds, and he would shriek, "Ah!" Hiranyakashipu thought with on the Lord with hatred, and Shishupal with envy. So you have to think of Krishna, but don't forget to serve him. That's why Prabhupada also translated bhakti as devotion. That's an emotion, something you do when you think, or which is happening in the mind. But that service is to do something. No, that the devotee wants to serve Krishna. So always think of me, become my devotee. Then there's worship and there is homage. Now, of all these four instructions, thinking of Krishna is the most important. There is a verse in the Katyayana Samhita about not thinking of Krishna. What happens? You could say, well, you become wet, the water falls over you, but that is happening to what does it become to become wet? Not thinking of Vasudev even for a moment is destruction. You're spiritually not there. It's a great fault. It's an error and it's a sin. This is also repeated in various scriptures, to think of Krishna, to be immersed in Krishna, that is the best devotional practice that is there. Now Sripad Ramanujacharya is explaining what it means to think of Krishna. I have always asked myself, what is Krishna for me? And I would like to actually ask you the question now. I would ask the men to turn to the men, and the ladies to the ladies. And when you begin to think during the day, I should think of Krishna. Of what do you think? Who is your Krishna for you? I start my the third section with a beautiful poem. It says like this: undiscovered beauty, that is what you are for me right now. Undiscovered beauty, hidden beauty, but one day, right from within, you will rise like the sun. It's something like this. Something. So let us make a little. I want to see where you are. Can I please request you to make a little, make pairs of two, or three? No problem. And then you help the. You should share what you could share about Krishna. Vrindavan, we don't. Vini, ready? So, please, when you think of Krishna, what can you, how do you do this? Ananya Bhakti. Man muss jetzt nachdenken.
Yeah.
One more minute. You were talking about Krishna. That's a good start for your summer camp. My dear devotees, Ramanujacharya gives a very interesting vision what it means to think of Krishna. He says it's a technique where you immerse yourself in the ocean of Krishna's qualities. And you know, when you immerse yourself in an ocean, then what is in the ocean that comes to you? I mean, even if it's not an ocean, let's look at the Bengali's favorite sweet, Rasgulla. And there is this middle preparation, and that is immersed in just sugary sugar syrup. Yeah, it makes already my teeth fall out just to think about it. And then they stay in there for some time, and they absorb the syrup, and then they become so sweet that you press it, and the water shoots out, or the syrup shoots out. So when you immerse yourself into something, the qualities of that liquid comes to you. That happens when you immerse yourself. To think of Krishna means you immerse your mind in these seven oceans, not just a little sugar syrup, it's oceans of sweetness, and then they come to you, and then you will be able to think about it. I think Ramanuja made a school of remembrance of Krishna Smaranam. These are the seven oceans. Maya pare karuna shushilya sondaya maduya gambirya odaya vasalya jaladho. To always think of Krishna means to immerse our minds in the seven expansive and deep oceans of Krishna's compassion. That's where it starts. His good character, his beauty, his sweetness, his gravity, his benevolence, and affection. If you learn to put your mind in these seven oceans, then you have a beautiful mind in the end. It's fully immersed. And we will try to do this here in this seminar. I hope to get through all of them, so that when you come, you out of the seminar, you are a Rasagula. fully healed and filled with Krishna. This, my dear devotees, is the Krishna conscious way of psychotherapy. We don't think about all those dark spots which may be in our personalities, but we let in the light. Wherever the light is, no darkness can stay. That's a very interesting and very, very good thing. So let us start with Krishna's Karunya Jaladi. Krishna is an ocean of compassion. There are many different forms in which Krishna chooses to give his mercy to the conditioned souls, and Karuna is perhaps that mercy that is most relevant to our situation, because it's not dependent on our qualification. There are forms of mercy like prasad. Prasad is given when you have done prasida, or you have pleased, or how do you say, you have pleased Krishna. Then the one who is given, it's called prasidati. As a result of having pleased prasidati, Bhagavan gives one prasad. No? He may be pleased by seva, he may be pleased by an effort you have done, he may be pleased by the arati which you have offered, or the cloth, or by the food. Then what he gives you is prasad, after he has become prasidati. This also gives a lot of inspiration for the cooks in Krishna consciousness. Prasad is really the result of prasidati, of having pleased. No? Then that's the idea. Mm. Of course, Krishna can sometimes give his mercy even if he is not pleased, but for the devotees it is more when they want prasad, they do this really with the idea to please. Now, karunya comes, there is no qualification necessary. It comes out of the tenderness of the heart of Krishna and causes Krishna to do what is helpful and favorable for the object of his compassion, even if that means for Krishna to make a self-sacrifice. It's something also with the, it is karunya, is that type of mercy is also connected with daya, which means pity, to take pity. Like you may see a little dog, who has just been born, and the mother is absent, and the dog is hungry. So you might take a little milk, put it on your finger, put the finger into the mouth of the little dog. This is pity, daya, you know. So karunya or karuna has always this little taste of pity. Krishna pities someone, and just without them having any qualifications, like the little dog. It did not do nothing to earn you, to earn your mercy. No, Krishna gives. And an extreme example of this, which is put deliberately at the beginning of Krishna's pastimes, is something that is should make the devotees think. You will hear the shocking example. There is a great devotee of Krishna called Uddhava. Uddhava was playing as a little child with dolls of Krishna. He was so absorbed in Krishna that when he grew up, he looked a little bit like Krishna. He had a bluish complexion. When the gopis saw Uddhava had come as a messenger from Krishna, they first thought, isn't that Krishna? He even used to dress like Krishna. He was so absorbed in Krishna that he dressed like Krishna. Do you know Udo Lindenberg? Yeah, in Germany there are two Udo Lindenbergs. There is the big Udo Lindenberg, there's a famous rock star, and then the small Udo Lindenberg looks exactly like Udo Lindenberg. He dresses like Udo Lindenberg, his eyes are like Udo Lindenberg's, his voice is like Udo Lindenberg, only a little higher. And I met him at the TV. We were together in a TV show, so I was also there. And I asked him, you look like Udo Lindenberg? Yeah, I'm the small Udo Lindenberg. Well, how did you become like this? I so much appreciate the big Udo Lindenberg. I somehow decided to dress and to, and somehow, I don't know, my hair grew like his, and my nose and my teeth. Yes, mind over matter, I said. So this Uddhava was so absorbed in Krishna, he really looked like Krishna. This is the original example of someone who is absorbed and took on the qualities. So once Vidura met Uddhava and asked him to say something about Krishna. And Uddhava first became silent for 48 minutes because he was so absorbed in Krishna. As I told you, he was the exemplary Krishna Bhakta, really, in some rasa, in some ways. And there are many exemplary Krishna Bhaktas, as we will learn. then, finally, he began to speak about Krishna, and he talked about Krishna's extreme mercy to a living entity who had just come and approached Krishna, nothing more, and attained his mercy. The idea is anyone who comes close to fire will also get fire warm. So this person had attained Krishna's darshan and also Krishna's embrace, and undeserved. She had not done anything that you normally do in devotional life. Uddhava remembers like this. Aho bhakiyam stanakalakutam jikam sayapayayat apyasadvi. Asadvi, she was the total opposite of a devotee. Lebe gatim dat yuchi tam natatonyam kam vadayalum sharanam brajema. Daya, no? Daya is like karuna. Alas, Uddhava says, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of a mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. She had just approached our Krishna. You all know she had dressed up in a very nice garments. They looked a little devotional. The Brijbasi thought she looked really like Lakshmi, personally. She had covered her witch form. She was a deadly witch who wanted to kill Krishna, and she managed to pass by all the security, if you so wish. Even Mother Yashoda didn't stop her when she went into Krishna's room. And pushed her the nipple of her breast, which was covered with deadly poison, into Krishna's little mouth. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, Putana only dressed like a devotee, but inside she hated Krishna. Is any one of you like this? Dressed, but you hate Krishna? I can't imagine. Her only qualification was she turned to him. So Jiva said, now for this qualification, Krishna actually accepted her offering. It was highly mixed. There was so much hatred in her milk, so much poison. And Krishna delivered her and brought her into the spiritual world, where she continued to feed the Lord with milk, but this time there was no poison. She was purified. She became a nursemaid, you know, a second nourisher. Yashoda was there to nourish Krishna, but there was also this nursemaid there. So this is Karuna, absolute undeserved mercy, which is there because Krishna is an ocean of compassion. I would like to share one story which I just heard today, of a modern version of this. One of the devotees, who I think is somewhere around here, is with you, was an au pair girl. Do you know what is an au pair girl? These are girls who come into the house of usually rich but busy people, and they take care of the babies. So this, she's now a devotee, but at that time she was just becoming interested in Krishna consciousness. So she would go to have this baby to take care of, and she would chant two rounds, three rounds, while the baby was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, like most of you, you know, being too busy on two lines. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, beep 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 beep, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, you know, like this, like we are known all over the world to chant. Distracted rounds, no? So she was like this. And then after some time, she showed the little baby pictures of the books. She had one Bhagavad Gita. Look here, you know, for entertaining the baby. Now, 38 means 3 and 8. She meets this lady, and this baby, now she is a grown-up girl, at Ratha Yatra. Oh, I know you. Yes, I know you. maybe they didn't recognize in the beginning, because 38 years makes a baby into a lady, no? So, but somehow they got to know. And that baby, just for having contact with the holy name, even though the holy name was what it was in the beginning, that it's just a new bhakti coming to Krishna consciousness, got the seed of Krishna consciousness and felt attracted. Isn't that an example of Karunya Jaladi? Krishna is an ocean of compassion. What do you all think? What do the doubters think amongst you? That's nice, no? That is how Krishna is. He has another mercy. It's Kripa. Sometimes devotees go, oh, Kripa Karo Krishna. This grace of God, of Krishna, is reciprocal with the inner attitude of a bhakta. But the baby didn't have any attitude. The baby was just babying along, you know. There was no conscious thought. There was just lying in the lap of the bhakti, you know. So Kripa is when you do something, and it's expected of devotees to come from the Karuna mercy, where they received undeserved mercy, perhaps at the beginning of their spiritual life, to come to the state where they get kripa from Krishna, the grace of Krishna, where the Lord reciprocates with the inner attitude of a bhakta. Especially when the bhakta feels kripana, or wretched, or dainya. Here comes the very important role of humility, not in words, but in mind also. Kripa is given to someone who feels kripana. That means Krishna reciprocates when his devotee comes to the Lord and expresses, I'm very wretched, I'm very fallen, please accept me in your service. No? There is a form of mercy which is even more intense, and I believe we must all come to this level if we want the full mercy of Krishna. It is called Anukampa. Anukampa means actually trembling. The bhakta is agitated and trembles, and the Lord, who is conscious, becomes, his heart becomes softened as a result, and now he is no longer distant and unapproachable and inaccessible. He gives an opportunity to the devotee. An example of a bhakta who is so much in emotionally stirred up that he trembles are the kings which were imprisoned by Yarasandra and kept in a fortress in Dronagiri, it's called. They were in iron prisons, and from time to time people, the wardens came out and took those imprisoned prisons to the sacrificial block, and they cut their head and offered them to Shiva. Yarasandra, who wanted to do, I think, 10,000 such bloody sacrifices to Lord Shiva. Don't worry, Shiva is not very pleased with this, but not at all. But that's how tamasic bhaktas of Shiva approach the Lord. So these kings were imprisoned, and they knew our days are counted, and any moment we might be our cell, our prison cell might be opened, and we might be brought to the sacrificial altar of Lord Shiva. So they were trembling, and in this mood they actually prayed to Lord Krishna to appear before them. And Krishna, who is conscious and who saw the trembling and the need of his devotees, appeared before them in the dark prison and delivered them from suffering. Anukampa, this is a mercy given to devotees who are trembling. I will end my little program and my little talk, and will soon ask you if you have any thoughts or any things. Any thing you like to share, by telling you about the five ways in which Krishna helps the conditioned soul. I heard this in a wonderful lecture by one devotee called Gauranga Darshan, who read a purport of Prabhupada to us. And this purport says that the first way in which the Lord shows mercy to the conditioned souls is by creating this material world. You might be surprised how this is a mercy, and listen for a moment. When the conditioned soul decides to turn away from Krishna, this Krishna has to give them or Krishna feels, let me give them a place where they can make experiences that bring them again voluntarily to me. So he creates a situation for them that is not imbued with mechanisms to forget him further, but a situation which has where there are many hints given so that he turns from him. It's comparable to the act of the mother. When the child comes and wants to imitate the mother and say, I don't want to eat your food, it's a boring food, I will make my own food. Then the child is supplied by the kind mother with a toy kitchen, and it imitates cooking preparations. But after some time, the child will notice my paratha, or my rice, or my shabji is not satisfying me. You know, in a toy kitchen, in an imitation kitchen, you can only make imitation food, something that looks like food. There is no heat in the kitchen, otherwise the child will burn himself to death. So then the child feels frustrated and comes to the mother. Mother, can I have a little rice, please? I thought so. And mother gives some rice. So this is happening. Krishna first gives the conditioned soul an imitative world. Prabhupada describes like this, no? A toy world. It's not a real world. There's a mayic world. And after some time, a conscious living entity will meet frustration. And this frustration is Krishna's mercy. Don't argue with Krishna, oh, you didn't let me enjoy. I feel now so frustrated that I turn to you. This is Krishna's mercy, so that you wouldn't get lost. Therefore, it is often said, the beginning of spiritual life must be frustration. Someone, Queen Kunti says, who is still intoxicated with his high parentage, I'm from an aristocratic family, his wealth, his fame, I'm very famous, and his, what is the other thing? Wealth, education, where you come from, and fame. These four things. Someone who's intoxicated with them will not be able to turn to Krishna. But someone who thinks, I don't want so much money, I don't want so much, I don't want to become famous, not even as a Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. I don't want to be from a respectable family. You know, he has more chances in spiritual life, we have seen. Someone who's crazy after fame, who he is. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So if that person becomes frustrated, it's Krishna's mercy. If the beautiful devotee becomes older, Mataji was so beautiful that the whole world turned around. I think this is not possible any longer, and because our culture is just different. But or if someone is very rich and everyone wanted to go to them, it can be intoxicating. It doesn't always have to be when you dedicate it in Krishna's service. But more often than not, Krishna's mercy is shown when this is taken away. So Krishna's first mercy, he gives the world. The second mercy is you become frustrated. The third mercy is you get in contact with Shastra. The fourth mercy is acharyas, teachers like Prabhupada. That's Krishna's mercy that they walk around us and help us. And the fifth mercy is the holy name, Hare Krishna. That's how Krishna takes care of us. So first, the world. Second, frustration with the world. Third, Shastra. Fourth, acharyas, and also sadhus, and who can live this. And fifth, holy name, Hare Krishna. This is how Krishna is very, very merciful. I think sometimes devotees ask, oh, is Krishna merciful? Really? Yes, these are the ways in which he shows mercy to one and all. That was the first bath, the bath in Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Now, do you have some questions? Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, we have a harmonium for you, but we also have a microphone for you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Martha. It's very nice. Just a point of clarification. I'm making notes, and so I wanted to make the list of seven
oceans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I have compassion, character, beauty, sweetness, benevolence.
No, gravity first.
Gravity.
Yes, we can't know them.
Oh, that's the one I missed.
Yeah, that's okay. That's the gravity. Then you have benevolence, and then affection. No.
Okay. Gravity.
Tomorrow we will go to Krishna's good character and ask, does he really have a good character? We will ask such questions. Sorry. Yes, that's you complete? Good. Yeah, I'm also like this. And then you miss something sometimes. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes. Yes, anyone else? I see. So Mother Hari Prabhu is here. We have the microphone for him.
I was just wondering about, you mentioned the kings were trembling for Krishna, but weren't they just trembling out of fear? Is there, what's the...
Actually, Badahari, now you asked, and I will go a level deeper because you are Badahari. The trembling was actually in Krishna's heart. He felt so much compassion that this is the situation of the kings. But it was a reciprocal mercy. The kings were also in this very difficult situation, and they pleaded for Krishna. They somehow managed to tell one messenger, they freed a messenger, or somehow the messenger came to them, and he said, go to Dwaraka and tell Krishna of our misery. And it is described how miserable they were. They were kings. When Krishna saw them, they had the same cloth. Their body looked very emaciated. They had also not taken bath. And we can imagine there's human smells also. I don't think they had good sanitary situations in the prison. They were just kept there to first humiliate them, and then to sacrifice and kill them. And it was actually Krishna who saw their extreme misery, and his heart trembled. Perhaps a better example, this is one example Rupa Goswami gives of this type of mercy, Anukampa. It means the trembling of the Lord's heart. I also didn't express it very, very nicely. So you have, The second example is Grandfather Bhishma. Grandfather Bhishma had been pierced with 64 arrows by Arjuna. They had gone through his body, and we even hear that they had pierced vital organs like the stomach, the liver, the pancreas, and you know, and he was there on the battlefield being felled by the onslaught of these arrows of Arjuna, his beloved Arjuna, whom he had trained in part in military sciences. He was one of the trainers. He was there lying on the battlefield and bleeding actually severely. And Krishna knew that Bhishma, Grandfather Bhishma, is my devotee. Due to circumstances, he had been on the wrong side, the side of the adversaries, but his heart and mind was only fixed on Krishna. So when Krishna thought about Grandfather Bhishma lying in this wounded condition on the battlefield, suffering from these 64 arrows just piercing through your vital parts, that's excruciating painful, then his heart started to tremble. He saw the wretched condition of Bhishma, and he said to the five Pandavas, yes, he acted as your adversary, but he is my great devotee. We should all go now and visit him. And when the Lord saw him on the battlefield, the first reaction was tears came in his eyes. My devotee is suffering so much. And then out of this trembling of his heart, this very being so moved, he gave that special mercy. It flowed towards Bhishma. Yeah, Vrindavan Vinodini, we have a microphone for you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. At the beginning, you spoke about learning the art of doing things in this world, but fixing one's mind on Krishna. Yeah. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on that, because my experience is when I'm doing things in this world, my mind is fixed on doing things in this world.
Yeah.
And it is very hopeless.
It's
sometimes.
Very hopeless, yeah. And the things which we do can be so overwhelming. They demand all of our attention. You are a young mother of two children, I remember, right? And they have their needs, and is the food, is all the food there? Or do we need to purchase something? Or then maybe some physical condition is in one child, some medicine is required, but I don't know. Now we need to take the child to a doctor. And you know, it's one thing after the other. I can well imagine Vrindavan Vinodini. The example has been given by Srila Prabhupada. He chose this example. I think it's a very befitting example of the ladies who draw water and bring it to the home. They need this water to cook, they need the water to drink. There is no cooking and drinking water in the village. They sometimes need to go for a few kilometers and so on. But then when they return with the water, they will talk. I saw village ladies breastfeeding their children, you know, while they were walking and doing everything. But they will always have this thing where, I mean, I have the water pot up there. If I forget, then I might get wet and I have to go back all the way. So So we have to train this art of thinking of Krishna. It is something which doesn't come easy for two reasons. One is our mind is accustomed to engage with the things of this world and not so much with Krishna. And the second is, the overwhelming quality of this material energy. It is described as covering us and of pulling us down. These two qualities are described. I just now, avaranatmika shakti, and what else? But something, you know, there are Sanskrit words for this. So covering and pulling down. We all experience this. Therefore, you have to learn this art. And I will say it very bluntly, Vrindavan Vinodini, you are supremely intelligent, and so on. I think we need to now learn this art in our Hare Krishna movement. We first need the art to know to chant. We are not finished with that, and it can always go into another thing, in the wrong thing. We can get it always wrong if we are not careful. And we also now need to remember Krishna. I'm thinking the end of my life, or the last part of my life, will be dedicated to bringing this. There are other devotees who are, I'm a small follower of other devotees, but there are others who do this very well. I remember when you were in Europe, you used to like to read Venugita and these other books. So here is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says is the training. He speaks about, let me get this right for you, because I don't know if you all know Vrindavan Vinodini. He is very intelligent Vaishnavi and very, very devotional, very good-hearted. Everything is there. But she's also supremely intelligent, so we have to give this direct quote. No, it's in my new book, the quote. But I remember it. In the 12th chapter of the Gita, Lord Krishna says it's ideal to remember him, but when you cannot remember him always, you must follow what is called the Vidis, the regulations of devotional service. That's not the four rules and regulations, but it's the rules of bhakti. You know, our Rupa Goswami speaks about 64 practices. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti, and if you can't do that, then you must think of me. So here Vishwanath Chakravarti gives us a school how to think of Krishna. He says, you must stop the thoughts. He calls them your vulgar thoughts. I don't know what is vulgar, but I think it's like ordinary material thoughts. And you must then divert your thoughts and think of Krishna. And he gives the example of a river. Our material thoughts are like a river, Vrindavan Vinodini. They flow and flow always in the same direction. That's why you feel helpless and hopeless. I can't think of Krishna. My thoughts think in other ways. Go down to the river, then you see what it means, a forceful flow of thoughts. But you need to, if you want to redirect the river, you must dig a new riverbed. So this is the system which we do in bhakti. We begin to read about Krishna and then think about Krishna, what we read, and talk about Krishna. And then you will think more and more about Krishna. You will ultimately be like Prabhupada when he saw something ordinary, he saw Krishna in that. But that's only possible if your mind is trained. Like, I remember going with Prabhupada through the Vondel Park, where all the hippies were sleeping out their drug-induced sleep. And we went in the morning, Prabhupada saw a bird, a small bird, making his attempt to fly. And then he asked us, how does the bird know how to fly now? He didn't go to a flying school. The mother must, I don't know if mothers give verbal instructions to little birds to fly. Then a devotee said, by instinct, Prabhupada, the bird knows how to fly. But Prabhupada said, no, this is wrong. This is a scientist, they say, but they don't know. It's Paramatma in the heart. He had trained his mind in such a way that even by seeing a little bird making his own flight attempt, he could see Krishna in it. So this you need to train it. If you don't train this, we must open a school for the heart, said Novalis, a very pious spiritual author in the Middle Ages. No, we now need a school for love, he said. We need a school in our movement to learn to think of Krishna. It doesn't come regularly. What Srila Prabhupada recommended, he says in the first canto, if you daily read the Bhagavatam, you should be able to think of Krishna. Vrindavan Vinodini, I want to give you a sadhana. I know you're intelligent, you are from very devotional parents, it will be easy for you. You read and then talk to your children about what you have read. What is the age of the oldest child? 5 years, maybe? 5 years. So they can comprehend something now? A little bit, no? It starts. Quite good. So talk to the child, and you know, it should be a discussion situation, and talk to your husband. The husband will like to talk from morning till evening about Krishna conscious subjects. The husband is very nice. Rasanad, no? Is also there. Mm. The thing is, you won't remember Krishna if you don't talk about what you have heard. It will not. If you do Shravanam, you need to Kirtanam, and then Smaranam will come. You will feel very awkward, especially when you talk to Hare Krishnas about Krishna. What? You don't talk about apps now? You don't. It's so unusual for us to talk about Krishna. But go through the awkward moment and continue to talk. I always do it. I know they think Sachinanda Swami is cuckoo, but I do not care what the neighbors think. It needs training, and then you are through. Sadhana, spiritual practice, has a very simple principle. That is, what you do now is what you become later. Do you know that what you are now is what you have done before? Now you may be forgetful because you have trained yourself to forget Krishna. If you want to remember Krishna, you must start a sadhana, a practice that you do regularly. What you do now, that is what you become later. But this is the art of remaining in Krishna consciousness, to think of Krishna. It's the essence of the Gita. Manmana Bhava Mat Bhakto, it's to be aware of Krishna. And the Gita is the essence of the all of the Vedic scriptures. And Vrindavan Vinodini, something for the rational scientist in you. The Padma Purana says, Smartavyang Satatam Vishnu Vismatavyana Jatu Chet Sava vidhi nishevasya etayo eva kinkara. I cannot remember many verses, but I can remember this. It means to always think of Krishna and to never forget Krishna. All the rules and regulations which we do are servants of these two principles. You miss your entire spiritual life if you don't take this training. It is high time. It's high time. You're still young. Now, when you become too old, it's neurologically very difficult. You have neurons that wire together. In other words, you make a certain, you know, network which you wire together, which you meld together by the habitual thoughts and activities. And to break that, and you have done it for long, is very difficult. So you must start now. So everyone, I think our time is up. I thank you very, very much. Get ready for a plunge in the next ocean, which is Krishna's good character. This was about compassion. Karunya Jalada, Jaladi. Now we need to become more convinced about Krishna, that he is, and we will hear amazing things about his good character. We will even overhear a discussion between three devotees who discuss Krishna's character. It was very, very interesting. We will end here.